I'm Jessica Martucci. I'm here for part two of our interview with Colin Diedrich, and it's June 22nd, 2017. Colin, when we were talking the other day, we were talking about some of your experiences preparing to go into graduate school. I think, in fact, actually, you had talked about your experience not passing your first oral exams, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. I think that's where we left off. So you told a story about going to, like, the student learning services at that point. Okay, so we'll pick up there.
Okay.
So what happened after you didn't pass your comps the first time? You went to learning services.
Yeah, well, I think it's important to say that, like, I don't know if, like, last time I described, like, exactly what the comprehensive exam is and how it works.
I don't think you did. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to go into
that? Well, yeah, just to kind of just, like, paint this the scene. So the way the comprehensive exams work at the University of Pittsburgh in the specific program that I was in, and it's very similar in, like, a lot of PhD programs in the States, but there is a two-part exam, and at Pitt it takes place at the end of your second year, or during your second year, and essentially it is in the two parts, and the first part is a thesis proposal. And so you basically write a thesis proposal that basically describes the experiments that you think you're going to do over your career as a PhD student. And you write that in the form of, essentially it's a form of like an NIH grant, but it's like a truncated version and obviously like not held to the same standard. But still very difficult. And, like, you know, there is a ton of writing that happens. You're not allowed to talk to your PI, so that's your primary investigator, or the boss of the lab. And you're not allowed to talk to any faculty members about it, but you are allowed to talk to other graduate students and postdocs, and so they're the ones that really help you out with writing it, and then you start looking at old grants and their old theses, and so then you try to, like, put together, you know, a proposal that works. And so I wrote it, and it was really, really difficult for me, and there was one graduate student that was actually really, really helpful. It surprised me because, like, you know, we weren't close, like, in the lab. Like, we're friendly, it was fine. But she was just incredibly helpful and was a really good writer and always gave me, like, really, really helpful comments and stuff in my proposal. I think that's really important, especially when you have learning disabilities, to find someone, hopefully you can, that can be really that can go out of their way and doesn't mind, and they don't mind actually helping you. So through the help with this graduate student and then these other people in the lab, I wrote the proposal and submitted that, and you submit it to a committee of three people, and they're PIs of different labs, and they have some knowledge of the area that you're writing in. And that written proposal passed, and so that was really exciting. And then after it passes, you basically have, like, between a week and a month to prepare for your oral exam. And the oral exam essentially is a defense of the thesis. And it is, I don't actually remember how long it is, but it might be 3 hours of time or 2 hours of time, where basically you're basically in a room like this, and there's a blackboard or whiteboard, and you answer questions that they have about the thesis. And they can range from anything about, like, just general knowledge of the topic. So my topic was HIV-TB co-infection, and so it could be like, how does HIV infect a cell, to what drugs are used in TB, to how many people are infected, to what experiment are you doing, and why are you doing this? And so it's incredibly broad. In that first defense, I just completely bombed it. Like, I failed it, and, like, I deserved to fail it. I was obsessed with learning the names of the authors in papers, because I think that I always was always impressed with the people in my lab that could say, oh, the Reynolds paper, oh, the Schmidt paper, oh, the, you know, all they could list off all of these papers, and they knew the exact experiments and stuff. So I like really tried hard to learn all those like minute details of the literature, which is just something that's very difficult for me. And I also studied parts of HIV literature and TB literature that had nothing to do with my research, because I was like, oh, well, they might ask me mechanistic questions on how a protein enters TB, which has nothing to do with my research. And I remember taking notes on this. And anyway, I studied completely wrong, and it showed. And it was a horrible experience. And after I failed, I ended up talking to the head of the committee, and he was actually really nice about it. And one thing that he told me that still like sticks with me today is he was like, Colin, like when you're telling us when you're describing a paper, and you know all these details of the paper, you're describing the experiments that they did, which those things are easy for me to remember, or easier for me to remember. You're then saying, oh, and you're like stumbling and stuttering, trying to figure out like who the author was. And he's like, the author doesn't matter. But he's like, as soon as you do that, it makes us think that you actually don't know what's in the paper. And I was like, oh, but I do know. Like, and you know, I could draw the figures. And he's like, this is just how it looks. And so I think that was like really like eye opening. And so I met with him, and other things that like came up in that meeting were like, I tried to answer questions really quickly because I thought like dead space was bad, and that's specifically something that's really hard for me to do. Like I need some more time to process this. And so after meeting with this professor, I decided, I was like, okay, well, I think I need to go to the learning or the Disability Resource Center and talk to them about it and see if there's other techniques that I could use or implement and see if other people have had similar experiences. And so I made an appointment with the Disability Resource Office, and I met with the director at the time. And she gave me a bunch of different, you know, a bunch of like good advice. One thing though that like took me back, I was taken back a little bit, was at some point in our dialogue about, you know, what happened during this test, she told me, she said something like, oh, well, you know, wow, there is a lot of reading being a scientist. Would you rather go into business? And I was taken back. I was like, one, rude. But to her credit, as soon as I was like, well, no, if I wanted to go into business, I would have gone to business school. I was like, I want to be a scientist. And to her credit, she said, she immediately was like, okay, fine, then let's figure out what to do. But I think it's important to note that like even people who are really helpful to you, sometimes they can say things and that you can take either way. You can take like, oh, you don't think I can do it, or you can take, which I think the way that she meant it was like, oh, well, this is going to be a lot of work. Are you prepared to do it? You know, and I was like, of course I am. And so, but it's easy when you're on the cusp of, when you have learning disabilities and you're on the cusp of feeling good or feeling horrible about yourself, it's really easy to get knocked in either direction. Yeah. And that's something that I think happens a lot. And anyway, so she helped me. She like just talked this over. And told me, she said, okay, well, why don't you meet with all the professors and get their advice on like what you can do better, which I think is really, which is, of course, that, you know, that's always a really good idea. And then she's like, you don't have to answer questions immediately because of my processing issues, you know. And she also said, in order to like give yourself an extra time, you know, extra time when you're answering questions, like take a breath or stand up there with a piece of paper. And then when they ask a question, write it down and say something, you know, like write down like, oh, okay, like write just like a few key points and then cover it to help you answer questions. That'll give you time to collect your thoughts. And so anyway, so I ended up, you know, taking all of that to heart. And there was about a month's period of time after I failed my comps where I just was just really sad and miserable. It was pretty horrible. And I didn't think that I was going... I definitely questioned whether I should actually be in graduate school. I questioned like whether I was going to pass it, and I even thought, had those like fleeting feelings of, oh, well, if I don't try, then at least I'll get kicked out, and I'll be like, oh, well, I didn't try, so like maybe I could have. You know, you try to like justify your bad feelings. But then I started to get really like pissed off at myself for feeling so bad about myself. I was like, after like a month, I think it was about a month, I was like, okay, well, if they're going to kick me out, then they're going to kick me out of school, like with me like kicking and screaming. And like, I would rather fail out trying as hard as I can, because I was imagining myself like 5 years from then being like, oh, I got kicked out of school and I didn't try. And like, I was just like, I don't think I could deal with that. And so I started studying a lot, and I was like, I'm just going to study my own way and study the things that I find interesting. And I organized, I like had a bunch of notes, and I like organized everything really well, and just studied pretty much nonstop for, it was either another month or two, I can't really remember. And I ended up passing, so I did well in my second oral exam, which was great, and I used the same techniques that the director suggested, which was really wonderful. But I think the best part about that was that I was able to wrote a review about my research topic based on all the notes that I made during that like 2 month period of time. And it was basically like, there's some dogma in the HIV TB immunology world literature. And people are saying one thing is happening, and I think they're right, but where's the data that actually shows that those things are actually happening? And it is literally that review article that my boss and I wrote. I feel like that's the thing that I'm like most proud of with my research, even to date. And it's you know, it's a well-cited review article, and it's basically, this is the stuff that I really, really like, and these are the things that I question in the literature and stuff. And so also when I think about that review article, I also think like, wow, this came from me feeling horrible about myself and just being like, all right, Colin, you need to study the way that's best for you, and don't try to overdo it. Just try to focus on the things that you're interested in. And so then that's that, why like I just feel like I feel the best about that article or that review article. And so, yeah, so that was around that time of when graduate school, when I was like questioning things and feeling pretty bad about myself. But it definitely helped out after I passed and stuff. And I still question myself, but at least it was more sparingly.
Great. Can we take a break, please?